Nikola Tesla, Man Out of Time. We're continuing chapter 15, Magnificent and Doomed. Nikola Tesla has just returned to New York from Colorado, impatient to build a quote-unquote world radio center, offering all the services enjoyed today, interconnected radio telephone networks, synchronized time signals, stock market bulletins, pocket receivers, private communications, radio news service. He referred to it as a world system of intelligence transmission. It is mid-January 1900. And as we said last week, and we'll be going into today, nothing illustrates the plunder mindset of the power guys as the story of the theft of Nikola Tesla's inventions. Continuing with chapter 15. Meanwhile, as George Scherf reminded him, Nikola, there was a problem of some urgency with respect to his bank account. He had run through $100,000 during 8 months in Colorado. To whom should he turn? Colonel JJA, and recall from last week, the JJA stands for, and I didn't write it in, unfortunately. I'll stick it into the notes. George Westinghouse, Colonel JJA, Thomas Fortune Ryan, Pierpont Morgan, C. Jordan Mott. Although he was being ridiculed in the press, Nikola Tesla's reputation among capitalists still remained good. She had no idea. I'm sure we could school her on. One thing that impressed such hard-headed gentlemen was the record of the Westinghouse Company in maintaining its monopoly of alternating current patents. Remember, he gave them all for a very insignificant amount, turned them over to George Westinghouse. At some point, we must begin this book from its beginning. Tesla's life is so completely key to our understanding of so many things. In any case, Margaret Cheney writes in Chapter 5, which is called The War of the Currents, that for Nikola Tesla's 40 AC patents, he received $60,000 from the Westinghouse firm, which included $5,000 in cash and 150 shares of stock. Significantly, however, according to Westinghouse historical records, which I would feel better about if it were confirmed in the Library of Congress even, he was to earn $2.50 per horsepower of electricity sold. And that's a memorandum dated July 7, 1888, between Westinghouse Electric Company and Tesla Electric Company. One thing, and now continuing with Chapter 15, one thing that impressed such hard-headed gentlemen was Westinghouse Company kept a solid monopoly of alternating current patents, despite the efforts of competing industrialists to batter down the walls. In a search for new developmental capital, he again began frequenting the Players Club in Gramercy Park, the Palm Room of the Waldorf Astoria, and of course, Delmonico's. To the same purpose, he suggested to a willing Robert Johnson that an article for Century Magazine, which we've read from in the course of these shows, be written by Tesla on energy sources and the technology of the future. He slaved over this article, which was eventually entitled The Problem of Increasing Human Energy, and which appeared in June 1900. Like most of Tesla's writing, it turned out to be a lengthy philosophical treatise rather than the brisk report on his Colorado research which Johnson had desired. Nevertheless, it created a sensation. Part of this was due to the accompanying photographs, some of the many taken in Colorado, in which the inventor resorted to a mild form of trickery involving not just time exposures, but double exposures. They depicted him sitting quietly on a wooden chair, absorbed in his notes, while enough lightning to kill a roomful of people slashed and snapped around his head. Even though local photographers were available in Colorado, he imported a Mr. Alley, a favorite from Manhattan, to record the experiments made with his magnifying transmitter. The time exposures ran 1 or 2 hours in length, which of course produced much denser and more dramatic lightning effects than shots of single discharges would have done. And although the occupant of the chair did not simultaneously sit there, for he would certainly have been electrocuted, Tesla knew that the human focus was needed to heighten the dramatic effect. It had been a painful modeling job, for the experiments, and hence the photographs, had to be made at night when the weather was usually below zero. He explained in his diary how it was done. Quote, of course, the discharge was not... Of course, the discharge was not playing when the experimenter himself was photographed, as might be imagined. The streamers were first impressed upon the plate in dark or feeble light. Then the experimenter placed himself on the chair and an exposure to arc light was made. And finally, to bring out the features and other detail, a small flash powder was set off, unquote, from his diary. Thus, the structure of the empty chair in later exposures did not show through Tesla's body as if in some weird kind of X-ray photo. The results were as felicitous as even he might have wished for. Everyone who saw these photographs was astounded. When he sent a print to Professor A. Slaby, who was beginning to be known as the father of German radio, the latter replied that Tesla must have discovered something unique. He himself had never seen anything like it. The inventor's Colorado diary discloses that one reason for his constant experimenting with photographs there was his disappointment with the pictorial results of his ball lightning research. Of this he wrote, quote, a very important matter is to use better means of photographing the streamers exhibiting these phenomena. Much more sensitive plates ought to be prepared and experimented with. The coloring of the films might also be helpful in leading up to some valuable observations, unquote, from his diary. He also was thinking further of the value of powerfully excited vacuum tubes for the purpose of photography. Ultimately, and this is a quote from Nikola, by perfecting the apparatus and selecting properly the gas in the tube, we must make the photographer independent of sunlight and enable him to repeat his operations under exactly the same conditions. What do we not owe this man for? I mean, serious biz. We need some outing, putting some bright light on all this man has done for us. Continuing, such tubes will enable him to regulate the conditions and adjust the light effects at will, unquote. The Century article with its photographs and predictions thrust him even further into the center of controversy. But though his scientific colleagues sniped, the press remained generally loyal, unquote. And this is from Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time, the chapter Magnificent and Doomed.